Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is Bonafide Bible Talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. All right, first and foremost, I need y'all to quit being scared. I opened up the voicemail box at 305-290-1190. Once again, that's 305-290-1190. And we started out strong. People were submitting their questions. I was answering their questions. We had our first ever guests on the New Living Translation podcast. That was exciting, and I liked it. Most importantly, y'all helped make my job easier. But now y'all acting scared, and I don't like it. I end every episode of this show saying that real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar. And if I'm being honest, which I can't help but doing because I'm a real one, some of y'all are looking mighty unfamiliar. Stranger danger. I'm sensing some stranger danger. So if you not no scaredy cat, leave your question in the voicemail box at 305-290-1190. And since real people do real things, go ahead and make sure you left a rating and a review wherever you get your podcast at too. Now that we got that out the way and everybody ready to act right, we gonna have us a conversation about hope and revelation. Like we've been tracking all season, finding hope and revelations of God and about God. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had this opportunity to preach. Yeah, no, I don't just play no minister on TV. I really do this thing. But I had this opportunity to preach this sermon about the transfiguration. And I was preaching out of Mark chapter 9. Some of y'all might be somewhat familiar with this story. And if you're not, basically what happens is Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up this mountain. And at the top of this mountain, Jesus's physical appearance is transformed before their very faces. And Moses and Elijah meet with Jesus on this mountain. Now, this is not about to be no translation of Mark chapter 9, not on this episode at least. But I've always been fascinated by this episode because we have Peter, James, and John, three titans of what we refer to as the New Testament, witnessing Jesus, the central figure of the New Testament, or as some people call it, the New Covenant, meeting with Moses and Elijah, two titans of the Hebrew Bible, or some people call it the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Now, we know who Moses is. Moses is the prophet through which the covenant between God and Israel was first presented. And we talked about it a couple times on this show already and once this season about how God is revealed to Moses at Mount Sinai. Y'all know how the story goes. Moses, out there being a shepherd and whatnot, notices this bush that is on fire but is not consumed, steps toward the bush. Bush starts talking to him, and now Moses' life has changed. He becomes an instrument of liberation for the Hebrew people in the furnace of slavery in Egypt. And if you don't remember the story, hop back a couple episodes, go check out the translation episode called Who I Am, and then tune back into this one. But then there's another person present on this mountain with Peter, James, John, Jesus, and Moses, and that is Elijah. Now, Elijah is somebody that we also hear a lot about throughout the Bible. In the New Testament scriptures, Elijah is often presented as this pre-messianic figure. Not necessarily the Messiah himself, but a figure who prepares the way for the Messiah. And for that reason, John the Baptist is presented as Elijah. But who is Elijah when we're looking at the Hebrew scriptures? We meet Elijah pretty randomly in the book of 1 Kings. And to situate where we find ourselves meeting Elijah, we've already gone through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, which covers the establishment of a monarchy in Israel. We done had Saul, Saul's gone. We done had David, David's lived a long life, built a palace, and Solomon follows David up, builds a temple for God. And then after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel is split into the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, with two different monarchies. When we go through the book of 1 and 2 Kings, we see that the southern kingdom of Judah has a mixed bag of kings. Some of them are decent, some of them are good, some of them are really bad. In the northern kingdom of Israel, pretty much all of them are really bad. And it's in this northern kingdom of Israel that we encounter Elijah, this prophet who goes and speaks to these kings of the northern kingdom of Israel, basically tells them, you guys are not doing it right. Y'all are ticking God off with almost each and everything that you do. And when we first meet Elijah, he's telling people exactly that. And he has all of these showdowns with the prophets of these false gods, and he's putting on for God. He's performing miracles that people can witness with their own eyes, and also being sustained by God miraculously in a hostile environment. And when you look at how we meet Elijah and what Elijah's claim to fame is in this kingdom of wicked rulers, the Bible tells us, it makes sense why John the Baptist is presented as Elijah. John the Baptist is a dude who was beheaded by a ruler who is acting wickedly according to the law of God, says John the Baptist. But I'm fascinated by the fact that we find Elijah on this mountain with Moses and Jesus. And as I was reading and studying about Elijah, I realized that even though Elijah had already been doing work with and for God, that Elijah also had a moment of revelation at the same mountain of God, Mount Sinai, where Moses first encounters the great I Am. And so without any further ado, we're going to have some bona fide Bible talk about 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll probably hang around verses 9 through 13. Let's get into it. And he went in his cave and spent the night there. And the word of God came to him and said,
Elijah, what you doing here?
So Elijah said,
I've been a ride or die for God Almighty. But all of Israel done dropped your code. They done messed up your holy places. They been killing your messengers.
God said,
go outside. Stand on the mountain with me.
God moved. A tornado tore through the mountains and broke the rocks up. But God wasn't in that tornado. After the tornado, there was an earthquake. But God wasn't in that earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a wildfire. But God wasn't in that wildfire. And after the wildfire, there was a whisper. When Elijah heard the whisper, he pulled his jacket over his head and stood out by the entrance of the cave. And all of a sudden, a voice came to him and said,
Elijah, what you doing here?
I think I can sort of feel where Elijah is coming from. When you are zealous and passionate about the things of God, it can weigh very heavily on your spiritual well-being and on your mental health. When we encounter Elijah in this cave, near Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, he's actually pleading with God for a way out. And God's response is to call Elijah to this place of solitude. Go outside, come in this mountain with me, meet me at my mountain. And in this particular instance, we see a bunch of mighty signs of nature. We have this mighty windstorm. We have an earthquake. We have this giant fire. And every time we see one of these signs, the story tells us that God was not in that, which is interesting because to this point, our interactions with Elijah have been around God doing mighty signs so that people might know who God is, what God is like, how powerful God is. It's also further interesting because last time we see God revealed at Mount Sinai, it is through mighty signs. In the book of Exodus, we see the people of Israel at the foot of the mountain witnessing God at the top of that mountain in fire and thunder and all of these things that frankly terrify them. In the beginning of the book of Exodus, it's a burning bush that first captivates the attention and the reverence of Moses. God is doing mighty signs, and that's how God is revealed. But when God brings Elijah to this mountain for the express purpose of a meeting with God, God shows all sorts of mighty signs and says, but that's not me. It's not where I am. And it's not until we hear the still small voice, this gentle whisper, that Elijah covers his face in reverence, understanding that he has had a meeting with the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty Most High God. And when Elijah has this revelation, it's not as though the scales fall from his eyes or anything. As a matter of fact, he hears the same question that he heard before God was revealed in this still small voice. What are you doing here? Now, in this particular translation that I did, I didn't continue the scripture, but Elijah actually repeats the same answer he gave after the first time he's confronted with this question. Elijah, what you doing here? And Elijah runs the stats back. I've been working hard. I've been doing all this thing and people will not act right. And sometimes when people don't do what we think is right according to God, we end up taking that personally, as if it is a failure on our part, as if it is our job to save the world. Some of us carry a savior complex. And when we fail to save the world, we then carry a lesser view of ourselves. And I like that in this meeting place, the same place that God is revealed to Moses, God says to Elijah, you are who I've made you to be, and that is all. Just because I've revealed myself in the fire before, just because I've revealed myself using mighty signs and wonders before, does not mean that that is all there is to me. The times that you meet me in the quiet places, the times where you hear me in still small voices, the times where the word is heard in a whisper, is still every bit as much God as all of the mighty signs, wonders, and miracles that we cling to. And so as I reflect on this story, I find hope in the fact that God is not limited in the means of revelation. That yes, mighty signs, miracles, and wonders can be used, but so can those quiet times when we are left with questions that leave us wondering what we are doing here. And so before I pray with you, I want to leave you with a few moments to reflect on this question. And I hope that during this reflection, you might encounter the living God. Beloved, what are you doing here? Almighty God, who is revealed in fires, signs, miracles, and wonders, we ask that you would also help us to see you in the quiet places. Amen. Appreciate you joining us for another episode of the New Living Translation. Don't forget to show us some love by leaving us a rating and a review. If you got a Bible question you want to see us wrestle with on the show, go ahead and leave us a voicemail at 305-290-1190. Once again, that's 305-290-1190. To see what else I got going on, to find out where you can follow me, or find out how you can reach out to me so we can rap a little bit, visit PastorTrey05.com. There you can listen to the Three Black Men podcast, subscribe to my newsletter, The Sun Do Move, or find out where you can buy my book, Theologizing Bigger, Homilies on Living Freely and Loving Holy. All of that, so much more available at PastorTrey05.com. There should be a link to it in the show notes for you. The New Living Translation is a production of Three Black Men, Theology, Culture, and the World Around Us. A lot of this work is made possible by the generous contributions of people in our Patreon community. If you'd like to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Also linked in the show notes. Until we meet again, beloved, remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.